64 rounds, I believe, no? Still, such a person, he will not get even a drop of the mellows of ecstatic love. So in my little attempts, we don't have so much time, I'm trying really to teach how to chant with careful respect the holy name. And in my first lecture, I will talk about the Ajamil passage in the Bhagavatam that will come tomorrow. And in the second lecture, I will talk about a very effective process that helps us to avoid the offenses against chanting and then relish the holy names. On a personal note, my dear devotees, in the beginning of the holy name retreats, I was very fond of quotations that glorify the holy name. One holy name is enough to attain ecstatic love of Godhead. Then as I grew older, I began to ask, I have chanted one holy name, have I attained ecstatic love of God? If not, are the scriptures wrong, or am I doing something wrong? And it has come in my presentations now that I'm just very concerned about how to close the gap and how to make it work. I think it is very wonderful. You could see in Burijan Prabhu's and my presentations, we usually during the retreat are ping pong players. I play one ball and he plays another ball from another direction, and both are important. Both directions, both perspectives are important and help each other. I can imagine he will talk about the glories of the holy name, and I will talk about how can we realize this. So in this, we need the goal and we need the way. So let us see. My goal is that all of you who leave this retreat will have something, some sankskaras, deep impressions, that will stay with them for as long as they make an effort to keep these impressions in their heart and practice. My goal is also to shake the chanters who chant more than 2, 3, 5, 40, 50, 60 years or 5 lifetimes. I want to shake them up, and therefore my style will be at times, you will discover some chili in my language, and that's the reason to motivate them to a new approach to chanting. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before his initiation by whom? Sri Ishwar Puri, where? In Gaya. He was the greatest scholar, so much so that even though he was so young, perhaps 12 or 14, other scholars in Navadvip, which was basically a university town filled with professors of Sanskrit knowledge, etc., and logic, they feared him, even though he was just a young boy. And he was so influential, too. He had his own school at 14, and he went to, at 16, he went to Bangladesh, to East Bengal, Purva Bangla, and he gathered so much wealth, so many students. And yet, Even before that, he embarrassed, in a sense, and he defeated this Kesava Kashmiri, who was called Digvijay, who was a great, great, powerful scholar that was conquering everyone else everywhere he went in his scholarship. And Mahaprabhu, just a young boy, defeated him on the banks of the Ganga and embarrassed him, until that scholar, who was a devotee of Saraswati, the goddess of learning, in a dream, Saraswati came and said, "You surrender to this boy, Nimai Pandit, because he's the Supreme Lord." And Kesava Kashmiri did that. So he was the greatest scholar. He even used to embarrass the Vaishnava devotees as he would wander in Navadvip. And he would walk on one side of the street and they would cross the other side of the street to avoid him. He would question them on lunch. This was before his initiation. And then after his initiation by Sripad Iswara Puri, his mood changed. From being a proud, arrogant scholar in his lila to being the most humble but ecstatic devotee who chanted Krishna's names with the other Vaishnavas. And then finally, after only 24 years, the Lord took sannyas. And then he chanted Krishna's names. He preached in South India. He preached of going to Vrindavan. He preached coming back from Vrindavan. And everywhere he went, people were completely influenced by him. He had a simple preaching strategy, in a sense. It was to be in ecstasy. His own internal absorption attracted everyone. He was fully absorbed in the spiritual world, in love of separation from Radha and Krishna. He would dance, he would chant, tears would come from his eyes, and he was very beautiful. And everywhere he went, people were attracted. Everyone he touched or embraced became ecstatic and lovers of Krishna and were carriers of Krishna prema. He instructed people, Vasudev and Korma. He instructed, everywhere he went, he gave people the instructions to chant Krishna's names, to preach, help others, to study Stenesita, Srutikatam, Tanuvan, Manobir, to stay at home and chant Krishna's names. And then after he finished his touring, he settled back into Jagannath Puri, and he would meet the devotees who came from Bengal every year, and he would dance and chant with them and discuss Krishna Katha. It was ecstasy. But then at night, from then on, he would be fully absorbed in the mood of Srimati Radharani, or sometimes other moods, in separation from Krishna. And he also describes, Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami describes in a little bit of an indirect way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own method of bhajan, how he worshipped the Lord. And it was chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting. And then hearing a verse and then becoming so absorbed in that verse, Swarasakhi. So absorbed in that verse that verse would become alive in his heart, and he would explain it to the devotees, especially Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar, all in an internal mood of ecstasy. So he went in his life, he went from being the greatest scholar to being the greatest preacher to being the greatest devotee, the chanter of Krishna's names with his devotees, and capturing the hearts of everyone he met, practically speaking, and then preaching, and then finally his own internal mood. And although he was the greatest scholar, finally he put all his instructions in 8 verses, Shikshastakam or Shikastakam. And these 8 verses they're poetic. And in my attempt to help with the devotees and myself during this retreat, I'm going to do something that I don't usually do. I'm going to talk less, and I'm going to just speak about what Mahaprabhu said in these verses and the images that he evokes in these verses, like Cheto Dharpana Marjanam in the first verse. It's an image. It's a poetical image. It's not a philosophical point. There's no philosophy in that first verse. It's all images, poetical images. He wants to evoke something with poetry that philosophy can't even evoke. But then he continues, next verse, and each verse shows a different stage of devotion. He's captured in these eight verses the entire process of going from the beginning of Krishna consciousness, of chanting the holy names, all the way to the highest level of absorption in meeting Krishna. So we're going to, in these morning classes, we're going to mix some discussion of these verses and showing you what the words actually mean, and let them enter into your hearts in a simple but very deep way. And then also we're going to have some experiential activities such as chanting Krishna's names. That's all.
That is everything. Wonderful. Wow. Thank you. Yes. My dear devotees, let me secretly look at the wristwatch now. Yes, we have now an experiential learning activity, which is chanting. We will go down and chant a little. And then please stay for this. I would like to say something. When we say to in ISKCON, now is Kirtan, half of the devotees say, okay, Kirtan, we know, and goes out and checks their mobile telephone for news. I have often seen that when we say, it's Kirtan, ooh, then, oh yes, yes, or it's Japa, then it is seen as an additional information which is has been done already. But during this retreat, this kirtan sessions and japa sessions are not additional. They are the core of it, because just like you can only learn eating by eating, swimming by swimming, sailing by swim, by what is it, sailing, chanting or relishing the holy name can only be done by doing it and learning it. So yes. But before we start, I feel great happiness to see all of you. It is so wonderful, you know. And please know, we are all creating an atmosphere together. And each one of you is a priest at the altar of the holy name, at the yajna of the holy name. Let us try to enter this amazing river here. And yes, we just go down here.
Namo Vishnu Padaya. Please join me. Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani prachadine. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi
suggest a very simple technique for kirtan, or simple frame of mind. Let us be present to each single holy name, and let us remember that Krishna is present. Just like Srila Prabhupada informed his early disciples in Seattle that one should know when we chant the holy name, that Krishna is actually present, and one should be careful. He said, just like you are careful when you meet your exalted spiritual master, and you are respectful as when you chant, that carefulness or respect, or it should be, adara means affectionate respect, will bring us quite far.
Ah.
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Yeah.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A little louder, if possible. Yes. Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna.
All of us, a little louder if possible.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare, Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
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 Hare,
Hare,
Hare.
Let us now sing from our heart to our vocal cords. It goes up, in other words, right into the ear of Giridhar, of Krishna, of Radha, wherever you focus your devotion, so that it goes into their hearts and pleases them. And when the Lord is pleased, His mercy or her mercy upon us. So kindly, we will chant quite slowly, and we will try to chant with whatever devotion is present at the moment in our heart. Everyone.
Hare
Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare.
This time, a little louder, please, if possible.
Hare.
Jaya Giri Govardhan,
Jaya Radha.